Hello and welcome to Business Beat, KBIA's weekly look at business and economic issues affecting Mid-Missouri. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Today we'll have a couple of reports from Harvest Public Media. Later in the show, we'll hear about how North America's largest food distributor is phasing out its use of gestation crates in pork production. But first, on the plains, drought is parching everything from corn to cattle. And when the prairie grass burns up, so does a business model that depends on it, ranching. Harvest Public Media's Frank Morris reports.
It's hot and dry out in western Kansas in a good year. South of Dodge City, the native grass is tough. So are the ranchers.
My name is Nathan Pike.
Pike is 78. He was born in the Dust Bowl, and this is the worst drought he's ever seen. Relentless, windy, hot days with no rain have torched his pastures.
You can see what we're up against. This old stuff is no good at all, and we're in a fire hazard.
Pike's cows won't eat this stuff, so he has to buy hay hauled in from greener pastures or corn. With fields of both withering from Indiana to Colorado, his feed prices have spiked. Pike can't make money feeding cattle this way, so he's sold most of his herd to a slaughterhouse.
I've been in the business for 62 years. That's quite a little while. This is the least cattle I've owned in at least 52 years.
We heard similar stories last year in Texas and Oklahoma.
Dan Loy at Iowa State University says that now, with drought sparking a sell-off in Kansas and Nebraska,
the national cattle herd currently is the lowest it's been since 1950.
When there were half as many people. The effects of this drought will take years to play out. Desperation selling is suppressing beef prices for now. It's also butchering the production capability of this industry. Ranchers are sacrificing healthy cows that would otherwise keep having calves for years. Pike thinks this will lead to big corporations forcing ranchers like himself to work under contract, a situation where the corporations own the cows and tell the rancher how to raise them, rather than selling on the open market, as ranchers like himself always have.
What I think will happen is the corporates will come out here and they will want to finance the cows because they know it's going to be hard for everybody to get back in. They will come out and say, we'll finance your cows, but you're going to run a certain breed, you're going to handle them, you're going to feed them to our specs. In other words, we're going to be serfs on our own land. And I think this is a perfect storm for it to happen.
Dan Loy isn't so sure. He thinks ranching will recover, but that it will take time. The dead pastures of western Kansas could take years to fill in again. In the meantime, the supply of beef is bound to tighten, leaving customers to pay more, and a lot of ranchers wishing they still had cattle to sell. Frank Morris, Harvest Public Media.
Advocates for giving farm animals a little more breathing room have scored another victory. North America's largest food distributor, Sysco, is the latest company to announce it will phase out pork produced with a controversial technology known as gestation crates. As Sarah McCammon reports for Harvest Public Media, a growing number of consumers say they want more humanely produced meat on their plates, but farmers worry they'll be left picking up the tab for changes they don't think are necessary.
Craig Rolls grew up on an Iowa farm, and like a lot of farm kids, he's done his share of heavy lifting.
I know what that means to carry feed to five-gallon buckets through the mud and through the snow and through the heat. And I understand what it takes to try to keep animals alive in those extreme kinds of temperatures.
So Rolls says he was thrilled by the development of gestation crates, narrow cages built over cement blocks with slotted floors to catch manure, and individual feeding and watering troughs. Rolls and his partners keep about 8,000 sows and their piglets at several farms surrounding Carroll in western Iowa. To enter the barns, you have to change out of your street clothes and put on coveralls to avoid contamination. Rolls admits that mama pigs don't have much room, but he says he believes the system is best for them.
Each of these guys has their own crate, and each of their guys has their own feeder, all right? And the idea allows us then to individually feed to the needs of that sow.
Rolls says sows often become aggressive, hoarding food and putting their neighbors in danger. While most of Rolls' peers in the large-scale hog industry are currently raising pork this way, animal rights advocates say consumers want that to change.
Confining animals in a cage so small they can't turn around is clearly indicative of a system that treats animals as machines and commodities rather than living beings that have a capacity to suffer and feel pain.
That's Josh Balk of the Humane Society of the United States, which negotiated the agreement with the distributor Sysco to phase out gestation stalls. The company hasn't spelled out a timeline yet, but it says it will work with producers to move toward group housing that gives animals more room to move. It's another sign of the growing demand for products seen as more natural and humane, says the American Restaurant Association's David Maloney.
Food seems to need to have a story to it, and whether that's non-stalled pork, whether that's Angus beef, whether that's organic vegetables or free-range chicken. One thing that's very interesting is that it helps a restaurant chain differentiate themselves.
Maloney says restaurant patrons interested in those products generally will spend up to 20% more for them. That's not lost on the industry. Sysco, based in Houston, mostly supplies food to restaurants and cafeterias. Major chains including McDonald's and Burger King have made similar announcements this year. That worries livestock industry leaders like Chris Novak, CEO of the National Pork Board. Novak says transitioning the entire industry would have huge costs, from building new pens to lost productivity, and producers will absorb those costs first.
They don't necessarily have a true understanding of the animal welfare benefits that gestation stalls provide. For many of our producers, this is a choice between a system that they had many years ago, that they moved away from to provide better protection and care for the animal.
In 2010, researchers at the University of Minnesota found no difference in productivity between stalls and larger pens, but they also concluded that a quick transition, in this case over a two-year period, could cost the industry some $2 to $3 billion. A 2007 study by Iowa State University, which was partially funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, found that sows with more space had more pigs per litter, and roomier housing was actually cheaper to build. But it noted that pork producers would need to learn new skills to adapt to a new system. In Des Moines, I'm Sarah McCammon, Harvest Public Media.
That's this week's Business Beat. I'm Ryan Famuliner. Thanks for listening.